One of the problems that we have, the Hispanic preachers or Mexican preachers, is that we start talking and we don't stop, right? So we have to control time here, and I'll try to do my best. So I have only 30 minutes, just the only thing that I can say. My name is Carlos Carrion. I'm from Mexico. My wife, Veronica, she's from El Salvador. We've been married for 22 years. We have two kids, Esteban, who is 18 years old, and Benjamin, who is 16 years old. That's about everything right now. So if you stick around and that you can, you want to talk with us and you want to ask more questions about myself and my family, so I will be more than glad to answer those questions. So, but I asked Pastor Rich, I asked him, and what do you want me to do today? Because I'm invited very often to go to different churches and to share about the ministry with the workers, with the migrant workers from Mexico and Guatemala. And Pastor Rich said to me, I want you to do two things, because say 30 minutes is enough for me to talk just about the ministry. But he said to me, I want you to preach, to share something with us. I want to be challenged. Okay, let's do it. So this is already a challenge for me, right? To do it in a different language is always a big challenge, but I love it. I love it. I love it when God is sending me to different places to meet new people, to meet new churches. We were driving this morning with Veronica coming to the church, and it's a beautiful place. It's such a nice place, very quiet. And we didn't know about you, right? So we didn't know about this place. And we were talking about retirement already, right? This is a nice place to come and to retire. Don't worry, we are not coming here. So, no, there's no time for us to think about that. Honestly, I'm not getting any younger. Actually, I'm getting older by the day, same as you. Yeah. So, but there's no time. There's no time for me. For me, is the only time that we have is to do ministry, to keep serving, to keep preaching, to keep reaching out. That's our life, and we'll see what happens when it's time to retire. But in the meantime, for us, it's just to keep serving. I'm going to share a little bit about what we want to preach a little bit for a few minutes, and then we want to share a little bit about the ministry. It's been an amazing experience for us. It's been a blessing for us. It's been a blessing not only for the workers and myself. It's been a blessing for a group of volunteers that we have from different churches. It's been a blessing. People that was doing pretty much nothing at the churches are now very, very involved in ministry, driving workers, ESL program, preparing food, and going to the different activities, donating to the ministry, helping with the food. People have been blessed through the ministry, serving these workers. So I want to share something here with, if you have your Bible or your phone, so I don't know what you're using here, but we're going to the book of Acts, chapter 8, and we want to read from verse 28, 26. Chapter 8, book Acts. Verse 26. I'm pretty sure that you already know the story. Okay, Philip and the Ethiopian. And I'm going to read some verses here. And it says like this. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court officer of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join the chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? So I've been in Christianity for almost 30 years, 28 years. And one of the most difficult parts for me, even today, after so many years and serving and being in ministry, something that has been very, very difficult for me is to be able to understand when God is talking to me. It's difficult for me to understand. And what I mean is I know when he's telling me, reading the Bible, and I know that he's talking to me. I know that he's telling me that I have to read my Bible every day. I know that I have to pray every day. I know that I have to do my devotionals every day. I know that I have to come to church every Sunday or in the middle of the week. I know that I have to give my donations to ministry. I understand that. That's not a problem. I don't think it's a problem for you. But it's a problem for me when he is talking to me and saying something directly to me. It's difficult. It's difficult, especially when it doesn't make any sense when he's telling me to do something, like Philip. It doesn't make any sense. If you read this, probably, well, that's a nice story. But if you go back a little bit, verses before, you can see Philip preaching in Samaria and people coming to the Lord. And the word says the people in Samaria were attentive, one accord. Everybody was paying attention to everything that Philip was preaching at that moment. And not only that, people were baptized. He was baptizing people, men and women, people coming to the Lord, and then a lot of miracles. Doesn't make any sense. I want to be there. I want to stay there. It's like being here. You feel so comfortable in this beautiful place. Nice building, nice church. Nice family, nice community, nice city. It's beautiful, nice weather. No Mexicans around here. No worries. I'm going to let them know about this place. We're going to take over eventually. It doesn't make any sense at all. I want to be there. I want to stay there. I want to keep preaching. I want to see people coming to the Lord. I want to keep baptizing people. I want to see miracles. Because I feel safe. I feel comfortable. And then he's talking to you and he's sending you to a desert place. It changes. I remember a few weeks ago we went to church and a video was presented, was played. It was a couple. Mid-30s probably. Both of them, I think, high school teachers or elementary teachers. Five kids. And the video was about this couple giving testimony about going to Africa. So leaving everything. Good job. Good family. Big church that is preaching, that is growing. And he's baptizing a lot of people on a monthly basis. Nice community. But God was telling them to move with five kids to Africa. Oh, that's difficult. I'm pretty sure that more than one person told them, you're crazy. Stay here. Think about your kids. Think about your future. But you know what? They're paying attention to God. They are paying attention to everything that God is saying, and they are moving. And that is important for you, because that's what a pastor Rick told me. You have to challenge us. And I think this is a challenge for you. Think about moving. Think about going somewhere. Think about doing ministry here in the city, or moving to different place, or moving to Africa, Central America, Mexico, or even here within Canada. We feel safe. And we feel comfortable with everything that we're doing. It's a nice family. It's a nice community. It's a nice place. And then we can see. He said, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem. This is a desert place. If we don't want to go to those places, it's difficult. It's difficult. I'm going to, with a group from the church, we're going to Guatemala in September. It's Impact Ministries in Guatemala. Very successful ministry in Guatemala. But the person that began the ministry is from, I think he's from Kamloops or Kelowna, one of those places. He was a principal in a school in one of those cities. And he said that one day he and his wife were praying and asking God, this is everything that you have for us. This is what you want me to do here in Canada. You want me to stay here and spend the rest of my life being a principal and then retire and then have a nice life and start traveling and going to different places. And you have to be very careful when you are praying like that and you are asking God, this is everything that you have for me. Do you want me to do something different? So God answered to them. And now they are in Guatemala for almost 25 years, reaching out people in Guatemala, people that don't even speak Spanish. That Spanish is the second language in that place. So now we're going to visit them to support the missionaries over there and to do some work in those places. Yeah. So it's difficult. It's difficult when God is talking to you, especially when it doesn't make any sense. And I don't know what the problem is. In my case, sometimes the difficult part is to be able to understand. But sometimes we don't want to listen. Sometimes we don't want to pay attention. Sometimes you say, that's not for me. And that's a problem. Because I truly believe that God is still calling people out. I truly believe that He wants more people to do ministry, to get involved in ministry. Does it really matter that your age? Still calling. Still talking. He's asking for volunteers. Yeah. Someone that decides to go to a desert place. And as you can see, Philip, even though that he was preaching and he was seeing people coming to the Lord and he was baptizing, he didn't say anything to God. Usually nowadays it's a little bit different, right? We don't react the same way. It's not like here someone maybe is feeling the call and probably today God is talking to you and then you're going to do the exactly the same as Philip did. He rises. Rise and go, and then she says, verse 27, he rose and went. He didn't ask anything to God. He didn't argue with God. He didn't question God. He didn't start asking questions about, what about my family? What about school? What about money? Let me start praying. We want to pray for 2 or 3 years just to be completely sure that this is what a God wants for me. He didn't say anything at all. He rose and went. And then the second time, the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join the chariot. So Philip ran to him immediately. Such a big difference, right? When you go and preach in a city with a lot of people coming to the Lord, and then He sends you to a isolated place to preach to just one person. Just one person. Moving everything, just taking you to go and find just one person. And you don't have any idea about what God can do with one person. I received a call. I think it was 3 years ago. It was a lady from Mexico called me. And she said to me, I'm Luis's wife, one of the workers. His name is Luis. And Luis has been talking a lot about you and about the ministry. Every time that he comes back to Mexico. Luis spends 8 months working here in Canada. So he goes back to Mexico to his family. And every time he goes and starts talking about the ministry, there is a pastor over there preaching and serving and supporting. And he's helping us, and he's taking us to soccer games, and he's taking me to doctor's appointment, and he's taking people to do this and to do that. So the lady called me, the wife, and she said to me, I want you to come to my home. I want you to come to my home. Let's do it. So 2 years ago, I went to visit them in a city called Zacatecas, central Mexico. So I went and I visited Luis and his family for 3 days. The last day, Luis and his family, they invited a lot of people, friends and family. It was close to 50, 60 people came to the dinner because they prepared a special dinner just for me. Yeah. It's kind of like, it's a pork, it's a really good, we call that carnitas. It's like a pulled pork, just better, right? Because it's Mexican, yeah. Just kidding. I shouldn't say anything because we have sandwiches later and we haven't had breakfast at all, so. Yeah, so anyways, I went to that place. I spent 3 days with Luis and his family. Last day, a special meal for myself. He invited a lot of people. And right after we finished dinner, Luis called everybody. All the guests, big house, right? And then he said, "This is Pastor Carlos. And he's going to pray for us. Let's do it." And start praying and praying and praying, right? And it's an opportunity when you're praying and talking about God and talking about Christ and the forgiveness and hope and redemption and eternal life. And I'm praying and praying and praying. That's it. Thank you so much. God bless you. And then after we finish praying, a group of guys, like 10 guys, 12 guys, stayed with me and start asking questions about the Bible. And we spent a couple hours talking with these two guys. And after a while, they decided, well, it's time to leave. Everybody left. And we start cleaning with Luis, cleaning everything, moving tables and chairs. And then two guys came back. A few minutes later, two guys came back. And they told me, you know what? We came to this place because for the fans, right? The party. Free food and free drinks. That's the idea. But you know what? They told me this. We're taking something much better. Christ. Yeah. You have no idea what God can do when you share the gospel with one person. Luis went back. Every time that we have activities with the workers start recording what we're doing, what we're preaching. Yeah, they're recording everything, so they are taking back everything. This is a kind of a mission. It's an outreach ministry here in the city, but it's a missionary because they are going back, some of them going back to Mexico and Guatemala and sharing the gospel with their families. There's another guy. I remember another guy. I have a lot of stories. We've been doing that for the last 10 years, and we have amazing stories. There is another guy. His name is Marcos. He came here to work in Surrey. Actually, in Latner, South Delta, and he came to work. We met him. We preached to him. He came to the Lord. We baptized him here. And then he was very, very worried about going back to Mexico and sharing the gospel with the rest of the family. You have in Mexico 90% of the people, or more than 90% of the people, they have the Catholic doctrine. It was so difficult for this guy going back and facing the rest of the family. And he said to me, you know what, I'm going back and I'm going to get rid of all the idols or the images and I'm going to do this and that. So he said, take it easy, man. Take it easy. Don't do that. Go little by little. Don't do anything. And he went and he spent time with the family and little by little. The wife came to the Lord and then the kids and all of them were baptized in an evangelical church in Mexico. All of them going to the church in Mexico. And Marcos didn't come back to BC. He was sent to work in Ontario. And he called me. And you know what he was doing? He was taking people, co-workers, to a local church. Okay? And I can spend hours telling you stories about these workers. But everything began with one person. So we pay attention. God told us to go and visit workers. I remember the first time when I saw a group of these Mexican workers. Well, it's not that easy, right, to find out that we're Mexican. But maybe you don't have them here. But you go to Langley, you go to Pitt Meadows, you go to the Fraser Valley, you go to South Delta, you go to Surrey, Richmond, and nowadays you can see them. You go to Superstore in Richmond Saturdays night, and you will see 100 guys. Or you can go to Ladner, and every day on a daily basis, you will see these guys riding the bikes with a backpack and a baseball hat. And obviously, we are Latinos, right? And now there is more than 3,000 guys coming every year to work here in BC. Almost 20,000 Mexican workers coming every year across Canada. Such a big opportunity to do ministry, to go and to preach and to serve, and then send them back to Mexico, and they share the gospel with the families. We have seen them. Remember the first time that we have a friend that in Abbotsford. It's a Mexican woman, and she called us and she said, "I want you, Carlos, to come and to visit a group of workers in mission." We used to. I was pastoring a church, Hispanic church in Richmond at that time. It took us 1 hour and 45 minutes to get to that place. So, but we went because these guys were living in a very isolated place. We went, a group of 30 guys. Someone gave us the opportunity to use a building similar to this one. So we have a meeting. But it was 1 hour and 45 minutes. And I told them, you know what? I'm coming here once a month. So we went, Veronica, kids, family, we prepared food. We went over there. We shared with those guys. And then say, well, we're coming back twice. We want to do it twice a month. Okay, so we took movies and dinner to preach with this guy. You spend time going back to Richmond midnight, after midnight. And then we decided, you know what? We're going every Sunday. And we spent almost a year going every Sunday. And you know what? Everybody came to the Lord. Yeah, because we spent time with these people. Talking about time, I have only 7 minutes. Pay attention when God is talking to you. Really pay attention. Listen. It's nice to be in a comfortable place, a nice place with nice family. There is need out there. There's people like the eunuch, like the Ethiopian, reading the book of Isaiah. And he doesn't, and people don't understand. And we need someone to go out there and start explaining that to these people. Verse 29, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join the chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading. I'm going to jump to verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And then we know the rest of the story. The eunuch was baptized. And then went in a different direction. We don't know everything about this eunuch, this Ethiopian. The Bible doesn't say anything about him anymore. So who cares? I don't care. Important thing is that someone took the time and spent time, because pay attention to everything that God was saying. And when and share the gospel with this person. And this is exactly the same thing for you. This is about sharing the good news. This is not about keeping the good news for me. This is nice. This is comfortable. That's not exactly what God is expecting for us. Let me tell you something or share something about the ministry very quickly. We've been doing this for the last 10 years. It's a Fellowship Baptist ministry. The Fellowship has been so good to us. We have churches from the Fellowship supporting this ministry. We have Collingwood Baptist, Hope Baptist, Ladner Baptist, and we have now Village Church supporting the ministry. Ladner Baptist, they've been amazingly good to us because we use the building on a regular basis. We have a church from the Church of God denomination, Trinity Pacific Church. They've been so good to us, the volunteers. So they've been supporting the ministry physically, praying financially for the last 10 years, and we are so thankful about that. Again, there are more than 3,000 guys coming every year here to BC from Mexico and Guatemala, and the work is about building a relationship. I grew up in an environment, an Hispanic church, where we were very aggressive sharing the gospel, right? Going with people, and you have to receive Christ, otherwise you're going to hell. So it was very aggressive, right? So, but we've been changing, and this is about sharing the gospel in a different way, building the relationship with the workers, and we've been very successful. Thanks God, doing that, serving these people, taking. You have no idea. For many or most of these guys, or 95% of these guys, it's an overwhelming experience the first time they come here to Canada. It's very, very difficult living. I don't know if you ever been in a small place in Mexico, Guatemala. People living outside the big cities where everybody's family. And for these people, just flying from Mexico City. And in many cases, first time going to the city, to Mexico City. And then taking a flight from Mexico City, coming to Canada, not able to understand anything. Having no friends and not knowing how to go and buy groceries. Or what about doctor's appointment? What about buying a phone? What about my computer? What about the taxes? What about speaking with my employer? Who's going to do that for us? The ministry. So that's what we've been doing, serving these people for the last 10 years. Again, we have an extremely nice, and we are so grateful for the group of volunteers that we have, because they've been very committed to this ministry, very faithful to God and to this ministry, and that we really appreciate that. So can you please, I have just two pictures, right? So we didn't have the time to bring like a big presentation. So this is, we just finished last weekend. We finished a tournament, soccer tournament, which has been a very successful activity for us, because through the year we put together many different activities, Easter dinner, Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving dinner. So we invite people to come to a gym, and we play indoor soccer. We have meal after the games, and then we preach. The same thing with this. We have the soccer games. We have burgers or whatever, and then we preach. Every time that we have a service, we share the gospel with these people. But you know what? Let me tell you something. It will be so difficult for me to go to their places, to go to their families, to go to their small towns and share the gospel. It will be so difficult. But if God is sending these people here, and now because they are isolated and because they have that need, they open their heart. They gave me the opportunity. But it's true about serving, supporting, helping. Last week, Saturday, a guy called me early in the morning. A big guy, a Mexican guy. He was actually is a little bit taller than me, right? Big guy, very strong guy. He was crying. He was sobbing, right? He was so sad. And he said, "Pastor Carlos, my daughter is a 10 years old daughter. She's going to die. The daughter has been battling a strange type of cancer for the last 5 years. And she said, the doctors call us and that's it. There's nothing else they can do. So I went and spent time with this guy and said, don't give up. Don't give up upon God. Just keep praying, and let's pray and pray and pray and pray. And the employer was getting a ticket for him to go back to Mexico. So we spent time praying and praying and praying and talking. Please don't give up on God. Please keep believing. So he went back to Mexico. But before he left, he called me because the daughter was in surgery in Mexico. Okay? And he called me and he's crying and sobbing, God, my daughter, she's going to make it. We don't know for how long, but right now she's doing a little bit better. But he was so happy. And that's what we do, serving these people, supporting, praying, sharing the gospel, because they're in need. The same as this guy. Someone ran to them. Yeah? Someone is going after these people and sharing the gospel. And now we are so happy and so thankful that you are thinking about, since the moment that you decided to get involved in this ministry, you are part of this. Yeah? We have people. I remember that we went to one of the Impact. What's the name when all the churches from the fellowship come together? Now they call, I'm sorry? The conference. Now it's called Impact, I think, or something like that. More or less kind of fancy nowadays. Don't say that I'm criticizing David Hurita. I can lose my job. Yeah, so, but I remember that we went, I don't remember where, but we went and someone came to us and said, I've been praying for you. This is the only thing that we can do. I've been praying for you, to your family, your ministry. And we can see them. These people are coming to the Lord, so we are praying for a group of guys that when we invited them. People ask me, and do you know if this is an honest decision? My time. Don't you think it's my wife, if she's here, or my kids? No, it's the time. Anyways, think about this. Try to be ready when God is talking to you. They're really talking to you. That He is sending you to do something, and specifically when He's calling you. And you know what, my experience? Obviously, I was kind of scared to get involved in ministry. Because you think about money, you think about family, you think about friends, you think about so many things. God is being faithful. And that we began the service and pastors talking about that God is good. I hope really you believe God is good. And He is good when you're in ministry, when you're serving. Anyways, I have to stop. I would love to spend more time preaching and sharing stories about the ministry. But again, thank you so much for the opportunity. And the ministry is about that. It's an outreach ministry, serving, supporting, helping these guys, and sharing the gospel. And then we are sending them back to their families, and they are sharing the gospel with families. And now you are part of this. And thank you so much for that. God bless you.